Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love, where we bring the labors of love from the Diocese of Corpus Christi straight to you. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guests, Sister Rosa Ortiz, a sister of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament, and director of campus ministry at Incarnate Word Academy High School, along with her guests, Julia Baker and Jacob Bartlett, a senior and sophomore at the high school. Thank you all for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having us.
I look forward to our conversation. We're going to talk about campus ministry, service, mission projects. And again, I'm really excited to see what's going on at Incarnate Word Academy. But let's go ahead and start, Sister Rosa. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I am a sister of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament. I entered in 1989, and I made vows in 1993. So I've been in vows for about 19 years, I guess.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a marvelous journey with God. Faith-filled journey with God, and a life that I would not ever say no to. I would always say yes to.
And being a sister itself is about service.
Yes, absolutely.
Let me ask you, how did you get involved with campus ministry at Incarnate Word?
That was all of God's plan. I was vocation director for our congregation for the last 7 years, and I was approached by both my spirit general and Mr. Imbergamo, the president of Incarnate Word, about thinking if I would consider taking a position as campus minister, because our campus minister was going to be moving on. And so I discerned, and I really do believe that God put this in my path, and it's been a marvelous experience thus far.
Was it one of those experiences where they asked you to sit in for a couple of days and the rest is history? You had a permanent position?
I didn't sit in for a couple of days. They asked me to consider it, and okay. I had gone, one of the pivotal decision factors for me was that I went on a mission trip with the students that year, and it was a marvelous experience. The students were absolutely great at what they did, and there was a lot of dedication to God. They were faith-filled, and I thought, yes, I can do this. With God's help, I can do this.
And I'm sure that Julia and Jacob would agree that you're a great campus minister. So thank you for this ministry to our youth.
Thank you.
Can you tell me what campus ministry is?
Campus ministry is really about taking what the students learn in theology about their relationship with God and allowing that to take shape in their other aspects and forms of lifestyle in their life, because it really is about forming them and putting to use what they learn and who they are as Catholics and Christians. And a major component of that is really to be of service to others. So retreats and planning retreats is important. In fact, I had a marvelous experience of some senior girls coming to me at the beginning of the school year and really initiating on their part that they wanted an all-girls retreat. And so we prepared it. We had a marvelous time. We had some input from parents. It was a collaborative effort, and really campus ministry is about being collaborative with all the people that are there, your parents, your students, your teachers, faculty, administration. It's been a great experience.
Sister, we're going to talk about those experiences with Julia and Jacob after our break, but I remember when I was a campus minister in a high school, and they really looked forward to the retreats, the students.
Yes.
And if I remember the first year, I was new. There wasn't a transitional period, so I didn't realize that a retreat was required and that they had one every year. So I can imagine how disappointed the young people were that we did not have a retreat that year. They really look forward to those occasions, and they look forward to their senior retreat. They look mm-hmm. forward to mission projects. I remember doing some mission projects and taking kids to orphanages and taking the students, let's say, to mental health, mental retardation facilities, or even nursing homes, just so that they can get an experience of serving others and reflecting on their lives and how blessed we all are. So I'm glad that, again, we're having this conversation. So are you also a teacher there at Incarnate Word?
No, I'm not a teacher currently.
Okay, so but you do catechize when you take the students to mission trips.
Oh, absolutely.
And retreats.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And there's a lot of catechetical work that's done even in the preparation of retreats and the preparations for missions, and even when we go out to, you know, feed the homeless, you know. So there's a lot of debriefing and really looking at what are we doing and who are we here for? You know, who are we serving?
So can you take me through a typical year in campus ministry world at Incarnate Word Academy?
Well, I had an experience as a theology teacher in, at the middle school level and high school level. And the first thing was really looking at those retreats, because we had what I called the marathon retreat week. Usually retreats at Incarnate Word were done by grade level, and they were done by grade level this year, but usually it was more spread out, like once every quarter, you know, one grade level every quarter. And what we decided to do early on was to have a retreat week that would center around unity, because of what some of those seniors were telling me was that we really wanted to have a sense of unity among the school. And even though they're grade level retreats, the theme would be unity.
Oh, okay.
And so we did that, and it was a marvelous experience. We also had, as part of that retreat, something that was a little different than they'd had in the past. And we had panels of from the students themselves per grade level. We had maybe five or six who would give a witness talk at the very end. And that was a powerful, powerful way for them to really express their faith and call others to look at their faith and their journey with God. So it started off with that. Then we had a ribbon ceremony where we put ribbons together that we sent off to New York to be placed in a special place in commemoration of 9/11. So that was a powerful witness. And that had to be done really, really quickly. It came upon us very quickly. So we did that in September, and then we did the retreats in October. Then after that, we were preparing for the all-girls retreats and poinsettia sales to help with our fundraising for missions. So it was a constant kind of a thing. And our missions meetings were really formed so as to allow the students to have ownership. So we would meet. I would meet with the leaders every week, and they would divide themselves and they'd take a topic. Say it was evangelization, or maybe the theme of forgiveness and how we implement that in our lives. And they would put together the presentation with my guidance. So it was really their work, you know, and they're speaking to their peers. And that is the most powerful tool we have at our disposal with young people. So there was a lot. That was every week on Wednesdays for 2 hours. And I think they thoroughly enjoyed themselves. So whatever kind of projects we were doing, we've said yes to. You know, February was the all-girls retreat. Then in March was really preparing for the missions.
So from beginning to end, then, you have a focus on retreats, and then you have other projects like the September
yes.
11th project. Then you get started on planning for the missions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and in between that, too, was initiated going to the Catholic Worker House and exposing our students to the homeless, and because they're very, very vulnerable in our society. And so exposing them to, you know, what their life is like, and talking to them and relating to them and relating with them. The other thing we had done was have a tour of Metro Ministries, which is also a help in a support to getting to know the homeless.
So it seems as though there's a lot going on in terms of
yes.
service
yes.
and awareness.
Yes.
And I like what you said earlier about the students giving the talks, the reflections, relational
yes.
ministry.
Yes.
I remember when I actually gave some reflections, but it's different from a peer giving a reflection to another peer because they can relate better. So I'm glad that you all are doing that. In terms of service, why do you think it's so important for these young people to serve others?
It's important because that's what was given to us. I mean, that's what grounds us as Christians. We follow in the tradition of Christ, being a servant to others. And in that service, we're called to see Christ in the other person, no matter who they are. And that's what we hope to have the students really know is that Christ lives within them, and they are to recognize and reveal Christ in others and to others.
Sister, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back on Labors of Love to speak with Julia and Jacob. Stay with us.
This is Labors of Love.
Come, bring the family, and enjoy the splendor of a cathedral holiday spectacular, A Touch of Frost. This Coastal Bend holiday tradition is full of pageantry of over 200 cast members, special effects, and angels aloft high in the air. Because of the popularity of this annual presentations, it's been expanded this year to 3 dazzling performances, Friday, December 20th at 7:30 p.m., and Saturday, December 21st at 10:30 a.m. and 2 p.m. at Corpus Christi Cathedral. Seating passes will be required for all 3 performances. Call 888-7444 to secure your seats now. The Cathedral Holiday Spectacular, A Touch of Frost, is another presentation of your Cathedral Concert Series.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. I'm here with my guest, Sister Rosa Ortiz, Director of Campus Ministry at Incarnate Word Academy High School. And now we're going to speak with my guests, Julia and Jacob, who are both students at Incarnate Word Academy. How are you two?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good, thank you.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. We spoke about missionary work, retreats, what it means to do service with Sister, but now I want to see what it means to do service in terms of a youth's aspect. Why is service so important to you? And we can start with Jacob.
I believe service is important to me. It's so much fun. You get to interact with different people and you expose yourself to new surroundings, but more importantly, the smiles on people's faces when you serve them and how thankful they are towards you and how much you gain from it too. Although you're serving others, they're also, in a way, serving you by filling your heart with spirit and ablaze to serve more and more each time.
So there's a sense of gratitude on behalf of the other people, but also joy within yourself that you're helping.
Yes, totally.
And
yes.
That you're serving as Jesus did. That's good and very beautifully said. You're quite articulate, Jacob.
Thank you.
And what about you, Julia?
For me, as Sister said earlier, we start in our theology classes and they teach us that serving others is one of the most important ways that we can come to know Christ. And just off that idea, that's why I'm involved in service, is to know Christ better. And as Jacob said as well, when you see their faces and see how grateful it is, it fills your heart. It's service is one of the most fulfilling activities to participate in.
You know, speaking of service, I would tell my confirmation students at retreats or in catechism class that it's one thing to say that Jesus is my Lord, but it's another to go out and do something about it and to mm-hmm. act. Mm-hmm. I can't say Jesus is Lord and then be a couch potato and do nothing about that.
Right.
There needs to be exactly. that desire, that hearts ablaze, and the desire and need to serve one another, because what else are we here for?
Exactly.
So beautifully said, you two.
Yes.
Tell me about one of your mission experiences, and this time, ladies first, we'll start with Julia.
Well, for my mission experience, I stayed with a group that stayed in Corpus Christi. So we went to Sacred Heart Church and we helped them with their Live Stations of the Cross. And that was a really great experience. It was mostly in the afternoon and we concluded in the evening, but we spent all day in preparation, which meant getting costumes together, working on the play and making sure we had it down realistically so that when the church community came in to watch us, that it wasn't just a play to them, it was Jesus's passion. And that was really moving as well, because when we went out on the streets and we did the Live Stations, we would see people come out of their houses and take pictures of us, and they would come out and want to be a part of it. And I think that was what we were aiming for, was not just to have their church community want to see us, but to draw in people from outside and bring them in and have them ask questions and learn more about it.
you know, the new evangelization is all about being a mm-hmm. missionary, and yeah. it's so service-oriented. And you just mentioned that you did missionary work here in Corpus Christi,
yes.
is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily doing mission work across the continent or in another country.
Exactly.
It's being a missionary and serving your fellow man or fellow brother and sister in Christ right next door.
Yes.
Or even
yes.
in your own home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what about you, Jacob?
Well, for my mission experience, I was in Big Wells, Texas, and there I was designated yard crew with several other students, meaning we trimmed trees, we mowed lawns, and we just fixed up yards for elderly people who weren't able to get around to that. Many of them were widowed. Their husbands did the yard work, and they weren't able to. And it was just very fun being with all of my fellow classmates and interacting with them. And the gratitude, like I said before, of the people that we were serving was just astonishing. We were there to serve them, yet they brought us so many gifts in the form of food and just thank yous. And it was really nice seeing how grateful they were for us being there. And I believe we really touch them, and I think that's at the heart of missionary work, is yeah. to touch someone's heart and to bring them closer to God, but as well to bring myself closer to God as well and my fellow classmates, and I believe that was fulfilled.
And again, yeah. speaking of the new evangelization, we are a church that is joyful. We are a church mm-hmm. that smiles and that loves one another. And you spoke about yard work, and you spoke about getting costumes ready, and simple acts of kindness like those speak volumes.
Yes.
Let me ask you, Sister Rosa, how do you mm-hmm. feel when you see your young people in this type of ministry?
Yeah, I am overjoyed. There really aren't words to be able to speak the joy that I feel in my heart, because they got it. They understand missionary work. They understand the importance of it. They understand who it's about. It's about Christ. It's about being there for others and allowing that love that's within them to really shine forth. And it's a reciprocal kind of thing, because the people also give you that love back. It's an incredible experience, beautiful experience.
And thank you for sharing, Sister. And again, thank you, Julie and Jacob, for sharing those missionary experiences. Can you tell me, apart from how things felt in terms of joy and gratitude, what would you say you learned from those missionary experiences? Let's say the bottom line. What did you learn from them?
I learned that Christ is in everyone, that in there is Christ and there is love and there is a want to serve and to be there for others and to lift up other people's spirits.
Julia?
I learned that missionary work is about the small things. It's the small things that touch people. It's the small things that bring us together. And those are the most important things that can show us who Christ is and show us Christ in others as well as ourselves.
So you talk about the simple things. So again, it's not that you have all the money in the world to go overseas and to invest millions of dollars in particular missions, but just doing the simple task in everyday life to serve one another.
Yes.
And again, we're called to be missionaries throughout the day, every day. In every single act of kindness and every smile that we give one another, mm-hmm. it's an act of God, and it's an act of us as missionaries for Christ. What other types of service projects are you involved in at Incarnate Word Academy?
At the beginning of the year, I was approached by Sister Rosa to take part in helping out at the Catholic Worker House, where we feed the homeless. And I am sophomore class president, student council, and we take part in the canned food drive, and we encourage others to donate to those who are in need, to give service to others. And I believe at Incarnate Word Academy, we're all involved in some kind of act of service. We're a school of service, and we believe in serving others with our whole heart. So I believe anything we do, from, like Julia said, the simplest thing, holding a door open for someone, mm-hmm. A smile at someone, is an act of service, because you're giving them joy in their heart.
And the good thing is, from what I'm gathering in our conversation, is that even though you all in a lot of Catholic schools, we're required to do service ministry, mm-hmm. 25 hours per year or mm-hmm. whatnot. You actually want to do it, and yes. you get excited yes. about doing service. So mm-hmm. that's yes. when you could see a difference in our young people, that Absolutely. They're not grudgingly doing the work. Now, you spoke about feeding the homeless. How do you feel, again, when you approach someone that doesn't have a roof over their heads? They probably don't. They've been wearing the same clothes for many days. They might not have shoes. What comes to mind when you experience that?
Before I did feeding the homeless, I had a view of homeless people as dirty, people I didn't really associate myself with very often. But now that I'm exposed to different surroundings and to serving these people, you gather so many more insights about their lives and who they are and who they once were too, and how you can be given everything by God, and God does give you blessings, but it can all be taken away in a flash as well. And that's when I believe I see these people, and it's like they're no different than I am. They are full of Christ as well, and they have a heart that longs for joy and happiness. Mm-hmm. And I try to give that to them. I try to make them feel comfortable, and I try to make them know that we are there for them, and we will pick them up when they fall.
Jacob, I'm glad you clarified that, because some people, when they see someone that's homeless asking for money, will have all sorts of questions in their mind. How did they get there? What are they going to use my money for? And I try to tell people, let's not look at that. Just do what's right. Offer them money if they're asking for it. And whatever happens after that is between them and God. So thank you for elaborating there. And Julia, let's go ahead and wrap up. Labors of Love, and tell me, what other service projects are you involved in?
Well, as a member of the National Honor Society at IWA, we have participated in service projects such as Coats for Christ, which we did during the winter when we collected all of our gently used coats and scarves, hats, anything that could keep someone warm, and we donated that to Catholic Charities. And when we delivered that, we saw such a great need just in that mm-hmm. one moment. There were people lined up waiting for food, and we could tell that they could get good use out of that warm clothing, and so that warmed our hearts. And in the same time, Christmas time, we went over to the nursing home, and we sang carols, we brought them goodie bags, and so small things like that. Those are the types of projects that most of our student body at Incarnate Word participates in frequently.
Sister Rosa, Julie, and Jacob, thank you so much for being with me on Labors of Love. I pray that your future endeavors are successful and with God's blessing.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org, or by U.S. Mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's sacred moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Anyone who has ever washed clothes will tell you that you need to separate the colors from the whites and the darks from the lights. The reason for this is that the darker colors sometimes bleed over and stain the lights, usually ruining them. On the first day of creation, God separated the dark from the light. In the Gospel of John, we see that Jesus also separates dark from light. Speaking to the adulteress, Jesus said, "Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again." By not condemning the woman, yet telling her to sin no more, Jesus is separating what is good or light from that which is evil or dark. He is restoring her dignity as a person, created very good, while separating her from the darkness of her sin. We might hear his words echoing in our own hearts when we are faced with choices between good and evil, light and dark. We probably hear them louder when we are the ones caught in darkness, and we long so much to hear him say, "I do not condemn you." Unfortunately, we often forget the ending to his words, "Go and sin no more." The next thing we know, we're standing around some other poor soul, caught in their sin, holding stones ready to be thrown. At this point, we should be reflecting on the words of Jesus to the accusers, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." As we drop our judgments, one by one, we remember those other, forgotten words, "Go and sin no more." Again, Jesus speaks, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And they asked him, "Who are you?" To which Jesus replied, "Even what I have told you from the beginning. In the beginning, God spoke his word. He said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw how good the light was. God then separated the light from the darkness. He saw it was good, and he set it aside, over and against darkness." Jesus speaks to us, telling us that he is the light, and that he is from the beginning. By now, the clothes and the wash should be done and ready for the dryer. We know that separating the lights from the dark is not all that is involved. We must also continue to care for them until the task is done and they are ready to be worn. The wet clothes go into the dryer. After a while, we'll need to take them out and put them away. Some will need ironing. In other words, we know it's not enough to know to separate the lights from the darks or good from evil. Something more is required. Go and sin no more. And again, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." In this world, we encounter so much brokenness, so much darkness, we have to work at being free. Free to proclaim the truth, free to walk in the light, free from sin and darkness. As we fold and put away our laundry, let us pray to the Lord, asking him to fill our everyday ordinariness with sacred moments in which we encounter the Lord who seeks to redeem, not condemn. May we go forward in the light, free from the darkness of sin. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Sister Rosa Ortiz, Sister of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament, and Director of Campus Ministry for Incarnate Word Academy High School, and her students, Julia Baker and Jacob Bartlett. If you'd like to learn more about campus ministry at Incarnate Word Academy High School, visit them at www.iwacc.org. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you next week for another edition of Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.